And it's time to begin our meeting tonight. And we've just had Daniel in the lion's den. And he came out all right. And I hold a clipping in my hand that's sending another preacher to the lion's den. This is up in the Sunflower State of Kansas. Kansas Supreme Court ruled Saturday that a couple cannot operate a boarding home for girls without state licensing on grounds that it would make them disobedient to God's command. That's what they said, of course, Brother Bill Cow. The High Court upheld a lower court decision on an appeal brought by Mr. and Mrs. William Cowell, who once operated Victory Village Home for Girls, just east of Hutchinson, Kansas. The Supreme Court said the state's licensing requirements designed to protect children must supersede any free exercise of religious beliefs. The balance weighs heavily in favor of those unfortunate children whom the state must protect. You know what the state will do to all those girls? And some of them came to have babies. They furnish the pill and abortion. They encourage them to be immoral, and then they'll kill the baby for them and pay the bill with your tax money. I warn you one thing, my radio friends and people. America doesn't have much longer to live. Our freedom is now gone. When the so-called Supreme Court of the state of Kansas doesn't know any better, all they got to do is investigate the girls, just like ours. He patterns his home after ours, just like Frank Ford, Mac Ford over in Louisiana, same thing. And yet, the battle still rages. I talked to Brother Bill on the phone a while ago, and I said, Brother Bill, just carry on. I mean, we're going to have to stand. I mean, let them take all of you to jail. Just stand. It ought to be against the law for the DHR to come on the property. Oh, you'd say, wait a minute. I'm not talking about the sheriff now. I'm not talking about the chief of police. If we're guilty of crime, let somebody investigate us from beside a bunch of little britches wearing women. Singing, living by faith everywhere. Number 86, the boys' song. The Lighthouse put on the play tonight concerning Daniel. Gave a lot of scripture, and I appreciate the many hours the boys have worked getting ready to present. And I appreciated the very enthusiastic crowd tonight that heard and listened and applauded. All right, number 86, singing.
Thank you.
God's own way, and his way is always the best way, I believe he's led me to skip Hebrews 11, where I like to camp. There's no greater chapter for the Christian than the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Now the just shall live by faith. And then when we go over to that 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we'll find the rulership of the man of God that is to be manifested in his confirmed leadership. Now, in between those two chapters, we find a therefore. Now, God has a way, and this sounds like Paul to me. I mean, it sounds like the writing. Let me show you something. Go to Romans chapter 12 with me for a moment. Romans chapter 12. Now, in the book of Romans, we have 11 great doctrinal chapters. Sin, salvation, service, separation, dedication, and then we come to the 12th chapter and we find the application. He said, therefore. Now, something had to take place before he got to therefore. I beseech you, therefore. What went before? Salvation by grace. He said, since we're saved by grace, not by works, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. You know who that is, don't you? That's redeemed people. That's people been saved. Brethren, you help her home, ladies, tonight, in the midst of failure and loneliness and defeat and depression and oppression. Realize it all came outside the will of God. When you step inside the will of God, your problem's already solved. And so, I want you to claim two things tonight with me. And I want this to be a banner night for everybody that hears this message. Out in Radio Land, I'm going to deal with the only two problems you've got. And if you just surrender and do what this writer says do and what the Lord is able to make you do and give you strength to do, your problems will be solved. I mean, this very night, before we leave this building, we can go ahead and have prayer meeting all night, which we will, but we'll spend a good deal of time thanking the Lord that he met all of our needs and that he blessed us. I want to say once again, we're right on the verge of the greatest deliverance we've ever known. Now, if you do not believe this done in your heart, you're on the wrong frequency. I mean, you better just... you may not even have your machine turned on. And so, in this 12th chapter, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, to me it's a shocking thing when Cleve McClary... And he called me this week. He said, "Brother, is there anything we can do? Should we come back?" He still likes a good fight. You know, when he told me about those Vietnamese, I mean, when he told me about the communists coming, and they were loaded with destruction. I mean, they had every kind of explosive, and the pins were pulled. And, I mean, it wasn't a joyride for them. I mean, they were not business as usual. They didn't have the attitude of the average church member, "Well, I'll come if it so I can. I hope to be able to visit you some of these days." Brother, now, I notice there's somebody not listening tonight. Now, let's settle down. Just settle down. I'd hate to have you stand so everybody could know who you are. I can't help anybody that won't hear the Word of God. And I got another statement. As much as I believe in God, He can't even help anybody that won't listen to it. So let's get with it. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not deformed. That's what it means, really. When you're conformed to the world, you're deformed to God. Listen, how sad it is, and how it affects people when a little baby's born, and somebody said that it was deformed, Brother Olaf. It'll never be normal. Did you know that most Christians will never be normal Christians? You know why? They're conformed to the world. You know, Paul said one day, I travail. Oh, I travail in prayer until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now verse 3, now go on to Hebrews. For I say, through the grace. That's good talk. That's grace talk. Paul prayed one day, you remember, and that he may speak with grace, seasoned with salt. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now here's your verse. And this will stop you from saying, I wish I had Brother Olaf's faith. I wish I had George Muller's faith. I wish I had as much faith as somebody else had. Let me read the rest of it. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now let that soak a minute. I mean, swallow that down and then drink a good glass of everlasting water after it. Did you know that everybody has the same measure of faith? If God gave me more faith than he gave Chip Williams, Chip Williams may get mad at God and file on him. I said, Lord, now wait a minute. You said you's a respecter of no persons, and I've got a right to have just as much faith as Brother Olaf, and God will say, Chip, sit down and behave yourself before I spank you. You got it. Now use it. Yeah, brother, it's not how much faith you got, it's how much you apply of your faith. And so, he said he measured every man the measure of faith. Now go to Hebrews. Chapter 12. Now what's happened? All right, we're coming up to the practical side. What did the 11th chapter say? Faith, faith, faith! Now faith is, now faith is. And he goes ahead and said, well, demonstrate. He said, all right, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him by faith. Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark, saving of his house. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out in the place he'd after receive his inheritance, obeyed him without not knowing where they went. And by faith Sarah conceived and bore a child when she's past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Brother, it's just faith. Faith. Now the just shall live by faith, chapter 10 says, and verse 38. Now then, we're over here in the 12th chapter. And folks, I'll guarantee you, he's not talking about the Westminster Abbey of faith and fame, because they got their pictures on. I mean, those great saints. And finally, the writer just run out. He said, oh me, what shall I more say? Time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, David also, and all the rest, and who through faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and women received their dead raised to life again. Brother, I'm trying to get you ready. I'm trying to get you ready. I hope you're going with me now, because if you don't, you're going to miss it tonight. And I'm preaching to Lester Olaf tonight. I really am. I'm coming after your pastor tonight on two things. Two things. And I'm going to ask you to join me, and I want you to get ready. You remember many months ago when I was talking about old Samson getting born? You remember when the angel came, and you know where he found Samson's mother? Don't find her in the house. Didn't find her at the bridge club.
Then finally down to a political rally, hooping and hollering, attending women's lib, found her home. And when her husband came home, I want you to know he had one more excited wife. I'm telling you, she was a walking and a talking. And he said, "What in the world's wrong with you? You seem mighty happy." He said, "I got a right to be happy. I'm fixing to be a mother." I said, "The Lord done sent an angel down here and told me to get a bassinet and start making baby clothes." And said, "I'm telling you," said, "that's what I've been praying for." And she said, "I'm well." He said, "That's good." Said, "Did oh yes?" Said, "He's from heaven." Said, "I'm no doubt about me." Said, "I'm going to have a baby, and we're going to have a family, and we're going to have a son, and God's promised that." And you remember the husband said something? He said, "Did you get proper instructions on what to do with him?" She said, "No." "Well, I thought we'd go to family services down to DHR." "Oh no, she didn't." "No, I tell you what, he was a wise husband. He said, "Well, now we're going to need, you see, this is new to us." And they said, "We're going to need the right instructions. And if he's to be a son of promise and to be a great man, and the fact is he's to be the strongest man in the world." And said, I think we better send a telegram and ask him to come on back. And let's get some instructions from heaven." And so they did, and here he came. He said, "Now look here, we're going to have a boy, and we want some instructions, and we want to know what to do with Samson." Now you remember I preached that many months ago. Now, that's been long enough for Samson to be born. Fact is, he's overdue. And I know it's not going to be a cesarean birth. I know he's coming supernaturally. But God's going to give us a Samson. You wait and see. There's coming a Samson into this work, and I've been asking the Lord what he wants me to do with him, how we're going to handle him, and I know part of it, Brother Jack, is $10 million worth of buildings in the computer right now. That's $10 million. That's nearly a half a million square feet of buildings. You'd say, "You're silly." I'll make you apologize for that before it's over. I mean, I'll feed you the biggest chunk of humble pie you've ever ate in your life. You wait and see. You know why? Because the Lord's in it, and he promised me that Samson was going to be born, and I believe he's on the way. Yes, sir. I tell you, I think we ought to be hanging pretty close to the maternity ward. Listen, I'm trying to build you up a little bit tonight, because we're coming to two things that you and I are going to need. Now, he said, "Wherefore, we also..." There you are. Now we've come to us now. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us..." And that'd be a good text. "Let us." Now, no need to say "let them." They've already done it. We've already hung them out on the wall to say, "Look at there. Didn't they do a great job? Look at them in their own blood and martyred and singing and praising God, and dying in the Roman arena, and being torn to bits by lions, and people that have been raised from the dead and the great. And now then," he said, "wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about..." Now let me ask you this. Suppose we had on the walls tonight all of the pictures. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, and all the Jephthah, David, and I mean this, suppose this whole thing, they were all up on the wall tonight. Now then, suppose a little further, if your imagination can run with mine, all of them became alive, and there they are. And boy, listen, those eyes begin to look, and they begin to nod. And I began to preach. Noah said, "Amen." Moses said, "That's right." David said, "I'm ready to sing about it." Brother, wouldn't business pick... I tell you what, you'd pay attention then. You looked all around this wall, saw all them old patriarchs and the men of God on the wall, pointing at you and you and me, and said, "We're watching you. Seeing we also compass about was so great a cloud. Now, compass is 360 degrees, isn't it? That means there ain't no way we can look that we can't see them. They're everywhere. They're up there in the baptistry, now it's under over the door, and everywhere, there they are. They're watching me. They're watching me. Oh, what are they going to think about this little tadpole, this little Tom Thumb? What are they going to think about me? You think they're going to come down and say, well, Brother Roloff, bless your little heart. You've suffered more than anybody I... Oh, no. They said, son, you haven't been there yet. You haven't been there yet. Your little light affliction's nothing compared. And that's right. That's right. But I tell you one thing, they're watching us. I believe also not only that group there, but what do you think? How much do you think God lets people in heaven see us? Now, I know this. Jesus saw, he saw Stephen, didn't he? And Stephen saw him. And he saw Jesus standing on the right hand. And so, I believe that their experiences... Do you believe heaven would be a little sweeter for some precious old saint that prayed for a prodigal son and died before they ever got saved, and then saw that rascal walk down the aisle and get saved, and the Lord would say, hey, come here a minute. Said, just look down yonder. Hey, now, I'm telling you the truth. If heaven could be tore up, they'd tear it up, wouldn't they? Why, they'd shout. And I imagine, don't you imagine there'd been a heap of shouting in heaven over things like that? And I imagine they'd dance around and shout and love one another, and somebody said, ring one of them, said, oh, somebody else got saved down there on earth. Some old preacher didn't have better sense than preach Jesus, and they, somebody got under conviction, got saved. Some fanatic got loose down there. That's right. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now then, we're coming to the text. Let us, he said, let us, didn't say make us, said let us lay aside every weight. Well, I just believe God will render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Why, they do that with such self-righteous, I mean, you'd think that they were the last theologian alive. I mean, they just feel sorry for Brother Olaf because he's never looked into the blessed book. And usually they're the worldliest rats anywhere. Brother Charlie was up there and had one of these live programs. They called it a show, you know. Charlie Rose Show. And Charlie's quite a fella. Fact is, it's quite really informal. I just sat down on the steps and he walked all around and he was talking and so forth. And so, of course, he had questions. And I noticed the hippies and the yippies came in. I said, we're in for trouble now. I mean, they won't have one decent thought during the whole thing. They've come to get me. But it so happened that our friends outnumbered and maybe got a lot of good words in, but one little old girl stood up over there. I guess she was a girl. I don't know for sure. But she stood up and she said, I think that he ought to have to pay back to the state all the taxes that he's cost the state of Texas. that kind of got me because we've saved them so much taxes. And I looked and I said, that's awful sweet of you. Now, I know that's sarcasm. Amen. But if I said, if they'll give me what I've saved them, I'll be glad to give back to them what I've cost them. Amen. Now, you talk about a business deal, that'd be it. I'd be one of the wealthiest men of this generation. But you see, the people don't understand. Now, the thing I want to get over to you, two things. Number one, he said, render unto Caesar the things. Did you get that? I just owe him some things. Taxes, things. I paid my taxes.
rendering him to seize the things that belong, but unto God the things that belong to God. Now, the thing the world doesn't understand, you see, when the world lost its conscience, or smothered it, or seared it, or burned it, they think everybody else lost theirs or ought to lose it. Why, it's a strange animal to run into that has a conscience left. Why, it makes you peculiar. So they brought that woman to Jesus and said, now, according to the law of Moses, and we're certainly sure that you would not violate that. Because, oh, they'd come, you know, one of them said, good master, and they'd try to pass compliments on him and so forth, but they said, this woman is to be stoned if we carry out the law. Have we ever heard about that around here? Is that what the county attorney said? If we go by the law, Brother Olaf's got to be tried as a criminal. If we go by the law, we've got to get rid of all those girls out there. A little girl called me in tears a while ago out in Arizona, said, Brother Olaf, I was so happy in the home. For the first time in my life, I'm 16, I was happy. Oh, I said, could I come back? Said, I came back. My mother and dad are cursing and ugly. And said, it's so hard to live right around what I'm living around. Listen, she just could not ask enough questions. And she was so homesick to come back to the home. But Jesus is on the spot, isn't he? Are you going to keep the law and let us begin our stoning party? Or would you like to join with us? We've got some extra stones here for you if you'd like to join in. After all, you're going to keep the law, aren't you? You would not turn out to be a lawbreaker, would you? And Jesus, brother, I don't know all about this, but I'm enjoying some new thoughts about it. And Jesus maybe didn't put it all down, but he wrote in the sand, did you know that if you find the one, like the woman, and she's in sin, and if they found her, now get this, if they found her in the act of sin, which was ugly and ungodly, and Jesus hated it, if they found, they had to be one more with her. They just had to be. And according to the law, both of them were to be stoned. Reckon how they didn't bring that dude along. Come on now, are you figuring this thing out? And Jesus wrote in the sand and said, one of y'all may be fixing to die with her. And I know which one it is. No wonder. Listen, did you know it wouldn't surprise me with such a stinky, filthy, ungodly, unloving attitude, every last one of them might have been with her at some time or other. And when he rode in the sand, he said, he's gone. Huh? Now then, the one thing Texas has overlooked, though they are sticklers for what I call an unrighteous decree, contrary to the Constitution, and I said to the lawyers, I said, well, do you ever understand it enough? As a man of God, anything that's contrary to the Word of God or the Constitution, the law of the Lord and the law of the land, I'm not obligated to keep it. And you can wrap me in jail if you want to. Now, what's so unreasonable about that? It's just right. Here it is. There's a letter, and that'll kill you. There's a spirit, and that'll save you. Did you know it? The letter, and listen, the Pharisees, religious people, and the administrative law, and the average judge, and lawyer, county attorney, district attorney, and all the rest, they go by the letter, but have completely forgotten the spirit of it.
Can you imagine the letter of an unlawful law performing wholesale abortion on the hopes of as many young people as left here? Folks, if God, and I believe he is righteous as well as merciful and just, he's going to get even with somebody. And I'm just waiting. I'm not doing one thing. I'd like to go talk to the governor. The Lord won't let me. I'd like to go talk to Mr. White. The Lord doesn't want me to. I'm just going to wait and let God deal with a whole bunch. God's fixing to work something out that's going to electrify the imagination of my own people. You wait and see. All right. Lay aside every weight. Every weight. Brother, we're runners now, aren't we? We're at the track meet. And you just don't go to the track meet with a big, heavy sweatshirt and sweatpants and hobnail shoes or big cowboy boots. And you don't have a bunch of rocks tied around your waist. Brother, you go there as light as, and when they say, on your mark, get set, boom, go. Brother, you just don't have a bunch of weights hanging on you. I mean, you don't have anything around your neck. You don't have rocks in your shoes. You just going as light as you can go. Now, he said, let us lay aside. Now, he said, seeing we also accomplished about, so they laid aside the weights. That's the reason Noah got the ark built and got in it. That's the reason Abraham found a city not made with hands eternal in the heavens. That's the reason Moses refused to be called the son. He laid aside every weight. Every weight. But you know, that's not where I'm going to camp. I'm going to go one more step tonight. Every weight, you can call it. And I think there are some things that are weights, but not as powerful in sin. I think sometimes maybe little things come along, just a lot of them little things, and maybe a little short, unkind, neglect, ingratitude, attitude. I mean, weights. But if you put enough of them on you, it'll stop you from winning the race, I'll tell you that. Just put that down. Now, then he comes to that next, and this is where we want to talk for a little. And every sin, notice, he said every weight and what? The sin. You say, how can I figure out what the sin is? You've already thought of it. Go ahead and get rid of it. Don't come telling me you're not that dumb. You say, well, I just don't know what the sin in my life. Is that right? Start guessing. See if you don't guess it the first time. I give you three guesses, and you can give me back two of them. What is the sin in your life? What is the sin in your life? Now, does that make you nervous? Do you wish you're somewhere else now? Do you wish you'd have been too sick to come to church tonight? You'd say, well, I'm willing to lay aside those weights, but the sin, I just don't believe I can give it up. Huh? What is it? What is the one thing in your life that torments you the most? Now, I could start naming them, couldn't I? But the Lord's already named, no doubt, the sin that's plagued, that's haunted, that's cursed, that's dwarfed your life. What is it? Well, I know you could say, well, it's cigarettes, it's dope, it's a high temper, it's immorality, it's uncleanness, it's jealousy, it's being hard to get along, it's, what is the sin in your life? Now, you know this, if you've got any unforgiveness in your heart tonight, you're sunk. I know that. If there's anybody in this building that I'm nursing a grudge against or do not have a forgiving attitude or would not accept or offer forgiveness if they ask, my spiritual life is zero. That's as low as you can go. I'm zero. There's no way for you to get your prayers answered. There's no way for you to make any progress. You could only live by accident from then on, not providence. Now, you girls over there, think about that. You boys over here, think about it. I know you live in the same dormitory, and I know somebody irks you and chafes you, and you wonder why they've got to be like, well, they've been that way a long time. But they won't get over it just by you fighting back at them. I mean, I was thinking about Jerry Yoder. He's in the hospital, and I appreciate all of you praying for him and going to see him and looking after him. Jerry and Betty and their children are sort of like my family. They've been here a long time. And Jerry Yoder is Jerry Yoder. He won't ever be anybody else. But I love Jerry. I love Betty. Betty's one of the noblest souls that's ever lived on the face of this earth. Now, brother, I don't know who you are, how much you think you are, but I'll tell you one thing. She's probably the best loved person on this farm right now. I mean, she's the most faithful thing that I've ever known in my life. When she worked with the boys, she had more patience than Job ever thought about having. I mean, excuse me, Job, but I mean, that's the way I feel about it. I didn't know Job like I know her. Now, folks, I got to thinking tonight while we were praying, when one member suffers, all of us suffer. That's right. Now, I could say, well, that little finger, you are the smallest of all the members of my body, and you're way down at the end of the hand, and you're not as important as the thumb, you're not as important as the index finger, and as the big finger, and the other finger living next door to you, and I'm not too interested in you, you little bitty shrivel that, I know you got a fingernail and all that, but you're not all that important. You understand that? You're just not that important. And the little finger said, I don't understand why you want to criticize me like that. Said, I know I'm little, but that's the way I've been made, and I've grown as much as I grow, and you wouldn't want me to be a foot long, would you? And so the little finger puts up, and so, but just to make an illustration, all of a sudden, that little finger said, well, I guess after all, I'm not all that important. I might as well just... chop it off. I mean, just hang it up. I mean, if you don't want me, if you don't want me anymore, I know what you're fixing to do. You're fixing to cut a grapefruit open and eat it, and I'm going to get right down there, and I'll go ahead. I feel so sorry for myself. I'm pitching a pity party. And if I'm not, and I know when I'm not wanted, and I can't help it because I'm not the thumb or I'm not your fist and so forth. But I'm glad to be attached. I'm just glad to be alone. But if that's the way you feel about it, and all of a sudden he just jumps out under the butcher knife and off he goes. But oh, my brother, my thumb cries, have mercy. My right foot says, we've had it. My right ear says, oh, me, I vibrate all over. Something's happened. The brain says, man, emergency, please. And sends the news to everything in my body. You say, what's the matter? Oh, that little finger got cut off. Are you there? All of us are suffering now because one little finger got separated from the body. And folks, if we really, I mean, if tonight we had what it took, and if we had the love of Jesus, when one of our members suffers, we're all going to suffer with him. If we're all a part of the body, you can't separate it to save your life without all of it suffering. And so, I hope tonight that you and I are willing. See, we accomplished that. There they are still on the wall. They're watching us. Mother and Dad watching. Neighbors that have gone on. And I tell you, when you live 65 years, most of them have left you. Very few are left. Did you know that? When you think about it, and as we go on up the ladder a little further, I mean, most people, these days they start dying at 30, 40, heart attacks in the 40s, 50, cancer, 60 and on through. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people looking, aren't there? When you get up to be 60 or 70, I'll guarantee you, most of the people that you knew and you were brought up with, they'll be sitting in the grandstand in heaven looking on. There they are. I mean, that's where I want them to be. I hope they've been saved. But he said, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. But that's not all he said. That's not all he said. Now, I hope you stay with me. I hope you've gotten rid of the weights. Now, I hope the sin's gone. You said, Lord, this is what I need deliverance from right here. Now, he said, let us run. All right. Let us run the sin which does so easily beset us or trip us or keep us from running. It's gone. The weights are gone. Let us run, how? With patience. The race that is set before us. The race of grace that's set. Where's your race? It's out ahead of you. You don't run backwards, do you? I tell you, at the lawyers' meeting yesterday, I never heard of such a ball game. They had such strange rules that they hit the ball and with one hand and then had to run backwards. Everybody ran the bases backwards. They had some sort of a reversing a ball game over there. And I guess a funny thing. I wonder, he said, the race that is set before us. Nobody runs backwards for God. We run forward. He said, the race that's set. I may be 65, but my race is still ahead of me. I can never rerun, and I don't intend to backtrack where I've been. I think that'll ruin most anybody when you spend most of your time reminiscing. We ought to spend our time running. The race is before us, which is set. And no, notice, the race is already set. You don't have to figure out where you're supposed to run. Run where God tells you to run. It's set. And it's set before. Now, how are you going to do it? Oh, brother, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You know where Jesus is? He's up above. Get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes off of the things of this world. Looking unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. All right. Now then, not only does he measure the same measure of faith to every person, he is the author, but he's also the finisher of our faith. That's the reason Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished. Why? Faith is the only thing that'll help you finish the course. If you run by sight, you never finish. If you run by faith, you can finish. Jesus, John in the 7th chapter. He said, I've finished the work thou gavest me to do. When he hung on the cross, one of his last blessed announcements was, Father, it's finished. I'm glad it's done now. Brother, when he said, the greatest job ever done was done, when he gave his life to save people. Look at my Frank Vanco sitting out there by Donna tonight, because Jesus finished his salvation. You reckon why old Frank could go across the country and little old Donna used to sit up here in the choir and sing, you know, and got that little old camper deal, you know, little old mobile home, little old what, Chevrolet, little old outfit. You still have that or you got another one? You got a camper, another deal, and pickup, I believe, didn't you? But he traveled all, they'd live in that little old cramped up outfit, but they'd travel day and night, and go some. Reckon why he's running a race like that. Jesus said it for him. Reckon why God would take a little old sorry dope head like Frank Vanco, mean and rebellious and caused his mother so many heartaches, and little old Diane writes me all the time, and his sister, and I got a little. Reckon why. You reckon that's roll off hypnotism? Mm-mm. That's the power of Jesus. Little old Faith sitting out there close to old Eric tonight. And they got a little baby. There was a time when Faith needed help. She needed some encouragement. And there she is. Folks, I'm glad Jesus is still able. Man, I tell you, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd want them all to go down the road of serving the Lord. I'm going to have to close now.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy. What? Joy. That was his, and all set before him. Set before him. Your joy. You see, your race is before you, and your joy is also before you. You know where you get your joy? Run that race that's before you. I'm enjoy running. I'm enjoy the race. And I'm going to win. I'm going to win, because, and I'm going to finish. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross. You enjoy the run, but you endure the cross. Despising the shame. Now, don't make a lot of difference. Let the shame come. People said, isn't that pitiful? Look at him. Look at him. Supposed to be the Son of God. And look at him bearing that cross. Look at him hanging. Why, he's dying like a thief. He's dying between. He must be worse than both of them. He's in the middle. Why, look at him. Shame. He despised the shame. I tell you what's wrong, most of us. We're so full of our stinking pride. We're afraid somebody's going to think that we're, you know, worse than what we are or something. Folks, don't be. He said he despised the shame. He despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weird and faint in your mind. For ye've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I know the world don't believe it. They didn't believe it 25 years ago either, but I'm going to give it to you one more time. 25 years ago, more than that a little, I said that unless things change, I'll go to jail for my faith before my ministry is over. That's been fulfilled. Now, the next startling remark is this. It would not surprise me, unless we have a revival and get back to God, that I'll shed some of my blood in the next 10 years for the faith that I have tonight. If I continue to stand, then I see no reason for not standing. It would not surprise me if 10 years from now there'll be blood. Now, it could be a lot quicker. If Russia takes over, and if this thing were to get into the flame, the fire, I mean the real battle, and they took advantage and they took over America all of a sudden, brother, in less than 12 months from now, my life would be gone. I'll guarantee you they'll mark me for death, because I'm sure going to represent Jesus Christ, and they're going to kill anybody, including you, if you're going to be true to Jesus. Now, you can just sit out there, and our people, I know how our people say, oh, I trust that should not be so. Well, I'll tell you what, you better put your trust in Jesus. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, it seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, poor sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Let's stand together with bowed heads. Our Father, if we lived longer than Methuselah, and we had 1,000 lives to live that long, and could give every minute and every second, every hour and every day and every week and every month and every year, completely, and not lose a moment, just give them all to Jesus, we'd die head over heels in debt to Jesus and to Thee for what You've done for us. Lord, how precious are those chapters You've given us tonight. And I pray right now that every weight and every sin. Now, while our heads are bowed, hold every person that has weights or the sin, and don't come and ask me what the sin in your life is. I don't know. But I tell you, the Lord does. And He'll tell you. And if God has spoken to your heart tonight, and you'd like to join me in prayer right here at this altar, and say, Lord, have mercy and give me deliverance, and let me run with patience the race that is set before. I want to run it. I'm going to run it. I'm determined to run the race, and I want to finish. I don't want to fall in the cinders. I don't want to fall on the track. I want to run. I want to cross the finish line. You come quickly while we sing. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art. God, help us tonight. Mow me. You can have victory tonight. You can have victory tonight. Why, I.